If you notice in your bulletin or your program this morning, our concert of prayer, you say, what in the world is a concert of prayer? I know what a concert is in the sense of it's in music, but what about in prayer? Concert of prayer, emphasis on the concert, agreement in purpose, feeling, or action. Unity achieved by mutual communication of views, ideas, or opinions. As a verb, to plan or arrange by mutual agreement to act together in harmony. My job has been to arrange. Your job is now to participate. All right? So we are having a concert, not only of prayer today, but of prayer, praise, and our time of communion. If you've never been a part of this, this service will be dramatically different than anything you've ever been a part of before. I want you to be engaged. I want you to participate. There's opportunity for you to sing. There'll be opportunity, if you'll notice in your program, whenever you see the scriptures in there and the scriptures are in bold type, that's when you're to join me and read along with me. As we read it together, we'll begin in just a few moments after we sing with our adoration. Our focus this entire week has been to immerse ourselves in concentrated season of prayer and following really the same kind of pattern that we've laid out in our service today. It is not that this is a magical program or this is a magical way to acquire what you want from a God, but what we believe Scripture presents is a way of approaching God with a right attitude, with a right heart, and responding according to what His Word teaches. And so today we kind of bring all that to conclusion. If you weren't able to participate in our season of prayer, I will be glad to give you a book. They're not dated, and you have to have them on a specific date. They're dated for 7 days in the course of a week, and you can use those books any time of the year. I hope many of you will keep that and use it again at other times in the year and to encourage a time of prayer. We're going to begin in just a moment with a song, and we are going to begin with adoring Him. So our first section is on adoration. Recognizing God for who He is, rejoicing and glorying in Him for who He is and what He's done. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we begin this service today, our desire, our heart desire, is that we would honor You in all that we do. Lord, this is not about us manipulating You. This is about giving You what You deserve in adoration, giving thanks to You, confessing our sin before You, and rejoicing it with thankful hearts for what You've done, being renewed in the spirit of our mind by the truth of Your Word, and then affirming the reality of not only what You've done, but who we are in Christ, and then rejoicing that we get to worship You and honor You and glory in You. Thank You for being our God. Thank You for being our only Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's start adoring our great God as we stand together and sing, Behold Our God.
Who has held the oceans in His hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? And nations tremble at His voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on His throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore. Words. Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all His wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on His throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore Him. cross upon his hand, bearing all the guilt of sinful man. God eternal, humbled to the grave, Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. Be seated.
As we look to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13, hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." We're going to let you remain seated this time, but we're going to sing "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise."
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Thou givest to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
Will you join me as we pray together? Mighty God, what a joy and a privilege it is to be able to come before you, to offer up the words of our song, the praise of our heart to you, and to know that we, with such feeble words and such frail lips, offer praise that through your Son Jesus Christ is received as honor and glory and praise to you. Father, words of men's hymns can never compose sufficient an image to the glory and majesty of our God. But we thank you for hymns that focus our hearts and our minds upon your attributes, immortal, and the mighty, unchanging God. The one before whom angels glory, before whom angels hide, as it were, their eyes from the splendor of your person. Lord, to think that one day there will be no need for a son, for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be the sun, you will be the brightness, the radiance. Father, today we come before you as the one who sits upon the throne. And we who have received Christ to be declared to be your sons and daughters, what privilege, what honor to to come before you this morning to acknowledge who you are and what you've done. Lord, not only who you are and what you've done for us, but who you are and what you've done throughout the ages of time as the Creator, as the one who raises up and makes low, the one who gives power and authority to men, the one who gives riches and wealth and honor, and the one who's able to remove it. Father, we acknowledge today there is no self-made man. There are only those with whom you have given and entrusted all that we have. Lord, all that is here is for your glory, and all that you give us is to be used as stewards to our bound to your glory and to your honor. We give you thanks for it. We come to you, the one who is wise and full of knowledge, Lord, and no man ever should question. None of us should ever say, one day God will have to give me an answer for this. For Lord, you have spoken that every mouth may be shut and all the world may become guilty before you. That, Lord, that those who see their guilt would come to know that you came not as the God who came to judge in the coming of Christ, but you came as the one bringing truth and light for every man who would receive Christ. You came bringing the knowledge of salvation, revealing yourself in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that we may know how to have life eternal, how to have our sins forgiven, how to be made one in Christ, united as even this weekend reminds us, united as bride and groom, Christ the groom and the church his glorious, spotless bride whom he has redeemed. So, Father, we pray today that you would receive our efforts this morning and be honored and glorified by what we do this morning. And that, Lord, that as we get even just a glimpse this morning of who you are in the pages of Scripture and in the songs that we sing, may our hearts bow in true confession before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned last Sunday, when we see the Lord in his glory, we see him as he is revealed in the pages of Scripture, and we begin to recognize who we are in light of who God is, that is true humility. And that brings with it a spirit of confession. Daniel 9, verses 3 through 10. In Daniel's prayer, it is a corporate prayer. Daniel praying, but Daniel praying for his people, for his nation. We began in verse 3, it says, "Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." Notice, recognition of who he is. Now join me in verse 5. "We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us shame, as at this day. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets."
From gloomy depths I cried in prayer, my soul in deep contrition. God, hear my cry, see my despair, and change my heart's condition. O God, I've failed a thousand times. If you mark all men's sins and crimes, oh, who could stand before you? No deed of mine could recompense the debt of my transgressions. Your mercy is my sole defense, not gifts or sad confessions. My hardest work would fail to pay. Forgiveness is the only way, so men may come to fear you. I place my hope in you alone, and not in my own merit. A robe of righteousness you've sewn, in faith I humbly wear it. Your promised word is all I need to comfort me and grow the seed of trust in my salvation. Salvation from my sinful state lies hidden from my eyesight. But like a watchman I will wait till dark gives way to daylight. The condemnation feels so strong, and all I see is all my wrong. I know your grace will conquer. O Church, O Holy Israel, God's workmanship and nation, let Yahweh be for you a well of hope in sweet salvation. Draw up your bucket from his heart and taste his word and don't depart, but follow ever closer.
Wanted to mention just a couple of things as we focus on confession of our sins. The Lord and his great forgiveness can welcome us back into fellowship with him, where we can be sensitive and ready to serve. I'll give you an example of that. Just in the last week, we had had a patient to come to the pharmacy, and I could tell they were distraught, and conversation didn't go very well. It was the person obviously was not where they were receptive, I felt, mentally, to be able to talk about things of the Lord. I felt very helpless because I knew the Lord wanted me to do something. And the next day, they're dead. I say that to help get me, us, peace that we can get from the Lord when we have our hearts and minds clear of just the distance that we can feel sometimes away from the Lord when we're not in communion, what we'd call communion or fellowship with him. I can't do anything about that person at this point. I can't. But I know that the Lord does impress upon us times when we can intervene and say a word of encouragement, or perhaps share the gospel, the good news, when people, we feel like we're led to say a word. The Lord does that for us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And the other thing I wanted to share is just how, you know, you have that aspect of the Christian life, and then you take a person that, by all accounts, their public statements, person that used to be in the world of, we would say, secular or worldly music from decades past that had tweeted, I've never tweeted with technology, but had tweeted this week that heaven was overrated. That was, I'm paraphrasing what they said. But in their, you know, this person's in their 70s, and the next day, they're dead. So my point is this, we do need God's great forgiveness at all times. I mean, he does forgive us when we come to Christ. He saves us to the uttermost, the scriptures say. But we still need to be in a mindset of continually, regularly wanting to ask the Lord to forgive us. And that's so important. So I want us to take this time and each of us pray silently at this time for a moment and just ask the Lord whatever's on your heart. And then I'll lead us in a corporate prayer of confession. So let's pray. Lord, we do need you to forgive us even this morning and to receive us back into your fellowship. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to deny self, that we would pursue you and your forgiveness with the same intensity, same passion that we tend to go after things that aren't honoring to you. Lord, help to direct our hearts and minds to you, your ways. Help us to worship you this morning. Help us to acknowledge your holy and righteous character. Your thoughts, your ways are so much higher than ours. And we know that you do love us and that you have given us your word to obey, so that you can bless your people. Lord, I pray that we would acknowledge today that you've already demonstrated your love for us many times over, but most importantly, in giving us the very way that we can be eternally forgiven, and that is through your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who has already paid the payment for our sins and has conquered death, conquered hell, conquered the grave, and is seated this morning at your right hand. Lord, we pray that you would be merciful to us this morning to forgive us of our sins. And we confess them to you now, Lord, as a corporate body and even individually. Lord, we need that for our nation. But Lord, help it to start with each one of us. We have sinned, we've rebelled, we've turned away from your word, from your law. And at times we've despised your word by the way that we act. And as this passage in Daniel states, we as a people are covered with our own shame. And we pray to you now that you would just renew us by your awesome forgiveness. We humble ourselves under your mighty authority. Thank you for caring for us and loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Confession is one of the things that we often seem to want to veer away from, and yet it is the very avenue to have things made right when there is guilt. The only way to remedy the guilt is through confession and repentance. And as we turn our hearts to the Lord and confession to Him, He already knows it already. But then to be able to receive, part of confession is not only the, we would say, maybe the negative aspect of I have to confess my sin, but the positive side is I get to rejoice in His mercy and in His forgiveness. And so don't think of confession as merely the negative side of things, but it is that which actually leads to the rejoicing that God has made a way. As we move to Thanksgiving, we do so with that in mind, that because of what He has done, because of how He has given Himself for us, we read in 1 John 2, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." The true believer doesn't want to sin, doesn't want to pursue that course of life, has been delivered from that. He says that you would not sin. You may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. As I emphasized last week, He pleads for me. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, for all who will believe, all who will receive Him. He is the appeasement of God's wrath. He's the satisfaction so that no man has to face the condemnation. We often, in the Baptist church, we often say, once saved, always saved. And that's true, but I think more accurately is once saved, always repenting, recognizing there's always the need. There's need for daily cleansing. We don't need to get saved. We only get saved once, truly saved, but we need to be repenting of sin on a daily basis. Sometimes we may feel like it needs to be on an hourly basis, but certainly on a daily basis, coming for that cleansing. Join me in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Rejoice in that. By God's power are being guarded through faith. You're not able to guard it. You're not able to secure it. But He has secured you. Verse 6, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We rejoice with thankful hearts as we sing together, "Great is Thy faithfulness," focusing on Him and what He has done. This is the alternate version of it, so you make sure you follow along with the words on the screen.
Let's stand.
Faithfulness, O God, my shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I could not love thee so blind and unfeeling. Fail not to me. Then without warning, desire or deserving, I found my treasure, my pleasure in thee. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Be seated for this next song. It's going to be The Old Rugged Cross. Yeah, just verse 1 and 2 on this.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The suffering and shame, and I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay. That old rock. so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to enter to
join our hearts together and pray. Father, we lift our hands to you because everything that we are and everything that we have is from you. All of our days are in your hand. And there is no better news for a weary soul than that truth. You are the sovereign God that holds every detail of our life. And Paul tells us that all these things work together for our good because you're committed to us. We're thankful that your word holy, although it implies your great purity, beyond that, and more importantly than that, dictates your commitment to us. You are the God who is wholly dedicated to redeeming us from our fallen state. And so when David tells us that not only all of our ways are in your hand, but all of our days are in your hand, and you know the least little significant detail of our existence, all the hairs of our head, every tear is vital to you. You store them up. Every incident of our life is an important part of your plan, and when we talk about your glory, we cannot get by the fact that your glory is that you do exactly what you intended to do. You redeem us by your great love. And when we acknowledge you in the center of everything that happens to us, like Solomon said, in all our ways, when we acknowledge you, we become thankful people because we see the God who loves us acting for us. And when tough days come by, we recognize them as the loving discipline of a father who's training us to be like him. And rather than rebel and seek to run away, we run to the God who comforts us in all of our distresses and makes us like him so that we're able to comfort those around us with the same measure of comfort that we've received. And our hearts know a peace and a security. And even when tough days come, we start singing the song of the Lord, and we see your salvation rescue us from our distresses on the outside, but more importantly than that, you rescue us from our own fallenness, and you make us your children, not just in fact, but in deed and in truth. And so when we lift our hands, we lift our hands to receive all your good blessings. And we're filled with your love. And we're secure. Daniel said that in the midst of trouble, the people who know their God take courage and go to work. That is the position that we travel from day unto day, grace unto grace, strength unto strength, glory unto glory, until you bring us home. We'll rejoice and be thankful forever. But until that happens, help us to stay focused and to see you in the middle of all that happens in our life. And then our prayer of thanksgiving will be automatic. Help us to trace your hand in all of our ways. And as some preacher said a long time ago, when we can't see your hand, help us simply to trust your heart and obey. And we will be thankful for all that you do and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
A God who has been so good and faithful to us, how can we not bring him then and want to bring him? Our supplications, Colossians 4 and following, devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God would open up to us a door for the word so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to proclaim it. So these supplications began us thinking about us collectively, us individually, but us collectively as a body, as we prepare to pray over these, that God would be working this in our lives and in our church. 2 Thessalonians 3, I finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. That is, that people would hear the gospel and hear the truth of God's word and respond to it like you. If you're here and you haven't responded to it, then obviously that wouldn't be the prayer that you would pray. But as believers, that we would want others to hear and to know and to respond as we have. And that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And finally, Hebrews 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our next hymn focuses on the character of God, maybe a little more than the prayer side of it, but it is one we introduced to you a while back, and it is The Secret Place. We're not singing all the verses of this, but it focuses on the belief the author had that those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, those who are able to have that access to Him, have special protection and special care and provision for them. So as you sing this, let your mind think about, this is the one to whom I get to go to. This is the one who I take my needs and the burdens of my heart, and I find I'm settled in peace and shelter and safety in Him.
Let's stand once again as we sing.
Dwells within His most secret place, is never far from His blessed grace. Neath His great shadow, all will be well. No better place now for us to dwell. The secret place of God Most High, the shadow of our mighty King. The dwelling place where angels cry is where our praise will forever ring. Fear not the terror that comes at night, nor flaming arrows by morning light. His truth is always our sword and shield. Against his power, all foes must yield. The secret place of God Most High, the shadow of our mighty King, the dwelling place where angels cry, is where our praise will forever ring. Refuge and fortress for all who trust, no safer pasture for man of dust. Neath wings and feathers of holy Lord, no greater comfort can he afford. The secret place of God Most High, the shadow of our mighty King, the dwelling place where angels cry, is where our praise will forever ring. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Father, what a joy to be able to come before you, not only to praise you and to thank you and to confess, but to ask you for things. And we know that you're a good father who loves to give good gifts to his children. And we have a high priest, a faithful high priest, who is also praying for us. And the Spirit that makes intercession with groans that words can't express. We thank you for our high priest. We thank you that we have, through him, confidence to draw near to the throne of grace and receive mercy. We pray that we would be alert in our prayers, that we would think about what we say to you, and that we would do it with an attitude of thankfulness. I pray that we would not only be focused on our own selves as we come to you, but think about what Christ is doing in this world in redeeming it. And we know that that's through your word. So we pray, as the Apostle Paul directed the churches he wrote to, that the word would go forth in power, that your servants would be faithful in proclaiming it, even when it's not popular, even when it gets them in trouble. We know that your word is the tool and the weapon that's going to change and transform people's lives. We do pray for our brothers and sisters when they do get in trouble with the world for speaking your word, that you would rescue them from the hands of evil men. We pray that you would remind them that their bodies can be chained, but your word and your spirit cannot be chained and will go forth and will continue producing fruit regardless of their condition. We long for that day when the nations will rejoice in your law and be governed by your just principles. We long to see not just the culture wars continued, but we know that culture comes from worship, and that there is always a difference in the culture of those who acknowledge you as Lord and those who don't. We want your name to be proclaimed among the nations as Most High, and everyone to look to you as King. We thank you for your power. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Christ's name, amen.
I will glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was the sin that drove the bitter nails and hung him on that judgment tree. I will glory in my Redeemer, who crushed the power of sin. My only Savior before the Holy Judge, the Lamb who is my righteousness, the Lamb who is my righteousness. I will glory in my Redeemer. My life he bought, my love he owns. I have no longings for another. I'm satisfied in him alone. I will glory in my Redeemer, his faithfulness my standing place. Though foes are mighty and rush upon me, my feet are held firm by his grace. My feet are firm held by his grace. I will glory in my Redeemer, who carries me on eagle's wings. He crowns my life with loving kindness. His triumph song I'll ever sing. I will glory in my Redeemer, whose faithless ways are in the gold. And when he calls me, it will be paradise, his face forever to behold, his face forever to behold.
You can be seated. These final words of Scripture this morning. In 1 Peter 1, therefore, prepare your minds for action and be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all conduct. Peter continues in his second epistle, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought we to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. We're going to close here in just a moment, but I'm going to ask you one last time, if you stand, if you can, I want to sing just one verse of this last hymn. It's the one that we're learning, and I want to make this really the theme for this season and for this year in many ways. We'll sing just the first verse and the chorus, and then Steve will come and close us in prayer.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong, who holds our days within his hand, who comes apart from his command. And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess. Christ, our hope in life and death.
Steve.
Well, I've gotten a lot out of this service. but more importantly, I certainly feel like Christ was honored. And so let's go ahead and say a prayer of honor and praise for him as we prepare to leave for the week. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you for a heavenly Father who wants our communication. Lord, we pray that you would help us to honor you as living sacrifices this week, serving you well. Help us to serve you well in terms of being thankful and grateful, and in terms of kindness to those that we come across, in terms of godly living, in terms of giving you glory and living for your kingdom and not for us. Lord, help us as we leave to have an attitude of hallelujah for our great and amazing God and his amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you prepare to leave this morning, if you've been here and you have not trusted Christ as Savior, I realize this probably doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot, but at least you've got to experience a group of people who love Jesus and want you to know him as Lord and Savior. If you are preparing to leave and don't know him, please don't delay. Reach out to one of us this morning. We would love, there's no greater delight than to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you this morning. Depart with this blessing now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.